Let us pray. Holy Lord, let the wisdom of your word rain down on us like manna and feed us, so that we may be strengthened to do the work to which you have called us, for the glory and honor of your name. Amen. First reading this morning is from Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. I'll give you a little heads up on this reading. It's an interesting story. Think about whether it could take place today. And it will also relate to what Pastor is going to be speaking to us this morning. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all the day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." There ends the reading.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Psalms, Psalm 16. "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The kingdom of God is like this. The owner of a privately held financial services firm saw that his employees were struggling to live and have families in a very expensive place to live. He had compassion on them. He genuinely felt bad because they were struggling. He did some research and found out how much money would make a significant difference in his employees' lives there in that city. Then he did the thing that made worldwide news. He called an all-company meeting and announced a new company minimum salary, the equivalent with cost of living of those people making just under $42,000 a year here in Columbus, Ohio. All current employees would get a raise to at least that much, effective that day. New employees fresh out of college would make that much. No one got a pay cut, except the owner himself. He took As CEO, he took a pay cut to that minimum salary. And all of this would be paid for out of the owner's own money. That much money did not make anybody rich. It was not enough for anybody to retire early. It was enough for some of these owners' employees to be able to move closer to work and choose to have children, something they were, many of them were financially unavailable to do until then. There was public backlash, to say the least. Forbes magazine accused the owner of trying to cynically buy his employees' happiness. Financial commentators called him a psychopath and a maniac. A well-known business-related news show predicted that the company would go bankrupt and all the employees would be on the welfare lines within a year. It made headlines when a few top employees quit, saying it wasn't fair to them for other people to make that much money. It made headlines when a minority partner filed a lawsuit trying to block the raises and take control of the company. That lawsuit failed. The business news reported falsely that the company was losing customers and employees faster than they could keep up. They reported falsely that the owner was going bankrupt and the company was collapsing. Financial commentators and even certain televangelists started using religious language to condemn the owner, calling what he had done unjust and corrupting. Rush Limbaugh even did a multi-hour segment describing the owner, who had previously been one of his fans, as being literally mentally ill. The truth was, the company had one of the lowest turnover rates in the industry and grew by 40% in 1 year. They had to grow because they lost a few customers, but they gained a lot more. The truth was that neither the owner nor the company was ever near bankruptcy. The company's annual profits nearly doubled in 1 year. The truth was that the lives of the company's employees changed for the better, and they do better work. Everybody wins. That meeting was held nearly 4 years ago, in April of 2015. A man named Dan Price still owns the company, which is called Gravity Payments. They haven't laid anybody off. They're still in business in Seattle, still with the minimum salary requirement, and still doing very well. But they faced incredible resistance from people who have no stake in the company, who will neither benefit if the company does well or be hurt if it folds. The resistance is not about what's good for the company or the employees. The resistance is about values. This true story sounds a lot like the parable that Jesus told. The owner of the vineyard paid the people who'd been working all day an amount that everybody agreed was a fair wage for the work they had done. He paid people who had not done as much work the same amount. The laborers who had worked longer were angry because they believed that the others being paid that amount meant that they were entitled to more. In the context in which Jesus lived and told this story, day laborers are common and day laborers are poor. The Torah requires that their employers pay them at the end of every day because they need the money to survive. A work day for a day laborer is from sunup to sundown, about 12 hours. The rabbinical writings from this time lay out how to calculate partial pay if somebody only works a partial day. Now, a denarius is the average daily pay, and it is subsistence wages. An adult needs about half a denarius a day just to feed themselves. And an income of 200 denarii a year is the line between the working poor and the destitute. 200 denarii might keep a small family fed if they're frugal and if they don't have too many kids. So, in that context, no one could fault the landowner for paying these laborers a partial day's wage for working a partial day. But he knows that part of the denarius, well, better than nothing, will not be enough for these people to be able to eat and feed their families. He knows that if he pays these people only the amount that he's legally allowed to pay them, that human beings created in the image of God will go hungry. So the landowner pays those who'd started work at 5 o'clock and only worked an hour a denarius, as if they'd worked all day. He then pays those who started at 3 o'clock and worked 3 hours the same. He pays those who started at noon and worked 6 hours the same, as if they'd worked all day. He pays those who started at 9 o'clock and worked 9 hours the same, as if they'd worked all day. By this time, those who started at dawn and worked 12 hours, they're anticipating a lot. No one has promised them more than a denarius, but they see these other people getting paid that much, so they assume that they'll be paid a lot more. The steward pays each of them a denarius, which is what they were expecting when they started the day. These workers begin to grumble, saying it wasn't fair to them to make others equal to them when those others hadn't worked as long or as hard. Sounds like some of those employees in Seattle, doesn't it? It's not fair you're making those others equal to me. Both the unhappy laborers in the vineyard and the unhappy employees in Seattle suffer from a common misunderstanding. It's not fair you're making those people equal to me. They're confusing how much money they make with their value. And they're treating the company owner or the landowner as if he has the power to change their value by how much he pays them. I said the reason that Dan Price experienced so much resistance was values. Let me explain. The truth is, he as the company owner doesn't have the power to change a person's value as a human being. Every human being was made by God in God's own image. Every human being is priceless. How much money you make, how much stuff you have, they do not determine your worth. They never did. They never will. Your worth is as a child of God. But a lot of people have a lot invested, both financially and psychologically, in the idea that the world is fair. The idea that rich people are rich because they're better people, or smarter, or in some way better. And poor people are poor because they're worse people. So if you're making more money than the person at the next desk, you must be better than they are, right? If someone else has a lot more money, they must be better than you are. If you really buy into this idea, then it frees you from any duty to your fellow human beings, because they are, by definition, getting what they deserve. That means if they're starving, it's their own fault, right? This is why the business press attacked Dan Price and Gravity Payments. They saw what he did as a threat to that idea. If you start seeing even the people at the bottom of the hierarchy as people with genuine value, regardless of how much you're paying them, then being on the top starts meaning responsibility. Being responsible to those people. Jesus, who was executed as an enemy of the state, remember, says that this idea is not true. The world is not fair. as I once got in trouble for telling an elementary school teacher. Fair is where little men in funny overalls throw cow chips for distance. Another commentator on this passage said, fair happens in August. They judge pigs there. There are consequences for what we say and do. But don't ever confuse that with the world being truly fair. However, there's good news. God is not fair either. God is better than fair. God is merciful. Merciful enough to forgive even us. And God is generous. Amazingly generous. In the kingdom of God, some may have more than others, but everybody has enough. There's no reason for any of us to worry about how much someone else has, except to make sure they have enough. If we mean it when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, then we should be as generous as God is to make it so on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.